Blog Talk Radio.
Come on with that song, Mother Max. She can sing that for me. At every single show when I hear that song now, it's just like I'm still sitting in Gethsemane Primitive Baptist Church at 522 Clinton Avenue in Newark, New Jersey, getting ready to get my shout on. But you know what, though, my brothers and sisters and Nurse Carmen, when I hear that song now, it still touches me the same way, but differently. I used to listen to that song and thinking, when I see Jesus, I'm with the Master. Now, when I see Jesus, I'm just looking at my brother. But if I'm seeing Jesus, that means God is in the midst. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen. Amen.
Bless you, my brother.
I made that sound comical, but I was so serious, man.
We can feel it. We can feel it, bro.
Okay,
amen,
man.
To that.
All right. But, hey, let me do the opening. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Woo. Here we go. Good evening, everybody. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio. And tonight we've got a special edition of The Messenger. We had major audio problems last night, but as my big brother tells me, word can never come back void. So we wasn't successful last night, so we loaded it up again, and we back on tonight. All microphones are working. Everything is in full tilt or full fleet. So let's hear our show. Again, this is Ken Hodge, producer of Hodge the Hodge Podcast Radio. As always, I got my main man, my right arm, the wind underneath my wings, my big brother, yeah. And every time I say that, y'all, I want y'all to know that's exactly how I feel about that statement. Brother Messenger, are you with me tonight?
Always, my brother. Bless you.
All right, brother. And with us also, we've got the original Nurse Carmen.
Hello.
Hello. Nurse Carmen always got to that sultry voice, like, hi, guys. But anyway. But anyway, this is our praise and worship hour. Again, this isn't the only hour of the day. Every sentence you make, every breath you take, whether you realize it or not, you are praising and worshiping the Creator. How was your day today, Cass? Anybody got any important news that they want to share with us today?
Mine was an excellent day, man. Every day, I mean, because I'm learning how to look at things differently, I count it all joy, my brother, all joy. And it's not just words, but I really count it all joy, because when I stop and look at some things, I've got some reasons to be upset, but I count it joy. I really do.
Yeah, and that's, again, you talk about some reasons to be upset. Again, this is our messenger hour, but again, the messenger deals with, the messenger's message is dealing with everyday life, ups and downs and sideways. So when we talk about, I've got some reasons by most standards to be upset, I got some big reasons to be upset. I received the decision back today on the charges that I filed against the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, and they pretty much told me to go jump in the lake. They told me that all my charges were procedurally defective and that they were frivolous. But I say this, and again, I've got a partner here helping me put my case together. I say this. It's funny because I knew that this is what they were going to return because dirt hides dirt, shame hides shame, and I didn't expect the National Mail Handler Council to actually render a quality decision. But it was a decision that I had to go through because once they rendered their decision, now that opens up the door for me to go do and pursue my issues, pursue my issue through whatever manner I please now. So again, when we talk about understanding how to count it all joy, on one hand, somebody might be upset because the decision came back that they were procedurally defective and frivolous. But me, I understand that, okay, all you just did for me was allow me to now pursue, again, a different response to these allegations through the civil procedures, and I can do that saying I still maintain decency and order in my charges. So I had to let them go ahead and throw it out. Don't get me wrong. I'm hoping that they would have seen and done the right thing. But everybody I've spoken to told me that's wishful thinking, Ken. It's not going to happen. The National won't ever do that. And so far, I want to say to all those people who told me that, and I told them, watch, I got confidence in our National Executive Board. I want to tell them that you're right. They rubber stamped it, and they're not going to bring any kind of a corrective action to any of their members who have reached the brand, the height of local president. So, again, I just want to say I got the decision back. It wasn't a good one in words, but it was a good one to me because it just freed me up to pursue through the civil arena what the National Postal Mail Handler Union couldn't do while it was on their table. So, hold on. I think, okay, we got Sunshine calling in. Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sunshine. How you doing, Sunshine?
Good evening, my sister.
Thank you, my brother, Messenger. How are you?
I am fantastic.
Wow, I have a nickname now.
What's your nickname?
No, I was saying Sunshine. I was saying my nickname.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what we're going to do, though? We're going to make that Sister Sunshine. Because Sunshine alone Sunshine alone might let people think that what we're putting out on the air here isn't a ministry. So we're going to go with Sister Sunshine.
Thank you.
Somebody might have seen Harlem Nights, huh?
Right. Lord.
I see what the message is. I see what the podcast is so happy. But we're not going to do that. Okay? Hey, but anyway, we were just talking about everyday life. And again, as we continue to go forth with this ministry, it's very important that we talk about what happens in our day-to-day events. Because what I don't want us to do with this ministry is get bogged down into like organized religion is. All we have are stories to tell of things that happened eons ago. And I serve a God of right now. So what I want to start our ministry with is we want to try to keep it as present as possible. Every once in a while, we may go back and drift into some of the Bible stories just to draw a parallel. But for the most part, we want to have a ministry of today. And God is speaking to us in a today voice. The words are the same, again, because God don't change. If we understand that, then we understand we change to fit God, not God change to fit us. So, Brother Messenger, how's your day? Tell me what's going on with you today, Brother Messenger.
No, as I stated earlier, man, I'm just
I just count it all joy. So I'm looking at things and I'm listening to you and what you're going through, and I can see if you stay fast to the word and continue to let God guide you, I see how it can all play out for you. It's just staying humble and letting God guide you. And I know it's going to be okay, because all things work together for the good. All things. We can look at it as bad, but if we take the blindfolders or that personal effect per se off of it and look at the bigger picture, because we're quick to just look at the right now and understand that it's something much bigger. And everything is happening for a reason. There is no such thing as a coincidence. Everything happens for a reason. And if we can come to understand that and apply ourselves accordingly, it once again, all things work together for the good. We've just got to be able to see it and apply ourselves. And if we see it and don't know how to apply ourselves, this is when we have to go within so that we can get the answer. Because just so everyone knows, if you don't go within, you will go without.
Mm. Can you say that again, Brother Jesse Jackson?
it is so important, because we have to understand who we are and what's in us, and what our core is. And I've said this on numerous occasions. We've got to stop looking at, quote unquote, the man in the mirror, look at the person in the mirror and think that that's who we are. When we know that this body is only here for a little while and it's going to go back into the ground, we know this. So if we know this, why do we hold fast to the fact that what it is, that the image that I see in the mirror is who I really am? And this is one of the reasons that the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It's not the physical beauty that's important. It's nice for the eyes to see, but that isn't what it's all about. I've seen some people that most people wouldn't call attractive at all, but because they had such a beautiful spirit and knew who they were, they didn't let that outside appearance affect who they really are. You can be the prettiest person in the world with the ugliest attitude, and it's all for naught.
Amen. So we got to learn who we really are. And again, as we put more time into learning who we really are, I'm here to tell you, you are going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed that once you attempt to tap in with a direct connect to the Creator, how much, what we like to say, the small stuff, it won't affect you as much. Because, again, I'm still carnal, so it affect me somewhat. But I got to tell you, I am absolutely certain that when this thing finished playing out, I'll be sending all of you invitations to come to the swearing-in dinner when they swear me in as local president. That thought never leaves my mind. And if I hold on to what I know, that I know what I know, it's going to be all right. And I see that already. I already see me functioning as a local union president.
Well, let me tell you, you just said something very, 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 very positive, very, very important. What you just said when you said you see it, because this is part of it. When you say that you know, once you know, then you begin to see yourself in that. And once you see yourself in that, you can rest assured that it's going to come to pass. When you see it, when you look at a car and you decide that you want to get that car and you see yourself driving in that car before you actually get the car, you can pretty much count it as your car. That's part of the speaking. See, people think all I got to do is say it. But it's more to it than say it, because you got to say it and you got to believe it. And once you begin to believe it, then you will see yourself in it. And when you see yourself in it, then you can see the universe at work. We like to say God per se, but God has set this up. And what we have to understand is that we are in control of this entire universe. We are. We like to, like when hurricanes and all of this type of stuff happen, we blame God. But we have to understand it's not God. It is the power that God has given us to make these things happen. And because we have made these things happen, God is not going to step in and change them. We blame God for people going without food. But if you really stop and think about it, in all the countries of this great world, we have enough food. It's just us that won't feed the people. It's us that won't do certain things to people to make it better. And instead of us doing what we need to do, because we have the power to do it, we sit back and we blame God. Well, why does God let this happen? Why does God? God is, it is us, it is we that is doing it, not God. God gave us free will. And when free will, whether people want to accept it or not, is really free will. You have the freedom to do as you please. And certain things you do, you will get consequences, but it's not a punishment from God. It's just the consequences of the action that you took. And because you took that action, does in no way whatsoever change God's love for you. And this is why I can't believe. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's something that most people have to really, really wrestle with, because it's not natural for us to actually believe that God don't get angry with us. I mean, because we've been taught that you anger God, you blaspheme against God, against God. God said, again, if I give you life and that you should have it more abundantly, then look up the word abundantly. It don't mean you in a box. It doesn't pit you in a certain paradigm that won't allow you to get out. There are no walls on this box. There are no like four sides. The earth is ours and the fullness thereof. So again, it is intended that we enjoy whatever it is that we enjoy. There is no.
And one of the.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One of the things that you've said, I have to kind of backtrack on that a little bit, is because I know we don't want to, quote unquote, Bible beat anyone, but it's important that we bring the Bible into it on numerous occasions, only because this is where they've gotten their instructions from, and then they put their blinders on, and all they can see is that. And so I have to be able to show them that the book that they're doing their studying from is wrong. Let me change it. It's not wrong. We're just reading it the wrong way. The New Testament was just parables, but we take it literally. And we can't continue to do that when even Jesus told us that that's what it is. But we won't listen to him. The Old Testament is just allegories. Do you know what allegories are? Allegories are just stories. Just symbolic stories. That's all they are. But we take it personally as if it's a fact. And it's just a story. It coincides with what you're saying, my brother, when you said we can speak on today's everyday things and stuff of that nature, which is just what they did back in those days. But
right.
I have to refer back to that only because they take that as the literal gospel of God. And it is it. And not in the way in which they're receiving it. Because of what they've been taught.
When you talk about parables, Jesus spoke in parables. So If Jesus spoke in parables, I'm going to have to say that he was in tune with the fact of, if I give it to these people straight, they're not going to know what to do with it. So let me try to break it down, water it down. Not so much water down, just for consumption and understanding. I'll give it to them in parable form and let them think it through.
Not that they would know what to do with it. They, just as they did not believe him. They did not believe him. Let me tell you something. Do you know that Jesus and Buddha, if you check Buddha, find out how Buddha was born. And I guarantee you it will match identical to the way Jesus was born.
Now, hold on, brother. Hold on, brother. Are you telling me that Buddha was born to a virgin also?
Yes, correct. Many, many years before Jesus. Yes. And that same star for the wise men, it was there for Buddha as well.
So what we're saying now is, if I might, what we're saying is that story has been slanted or set up to accommodate whatever religious faction we're trying to talk to, or excuse me, not whatever,
That's
but
correct.
Many different religious factions.
That is correct. And the same thing is applies to Moses as well. As far as his mother putting him in a raft and sending him up the Nile, that same story. Check your history. Go back about 1,000 years.
Who are we going to talk about, Musa?
What's up?
I'm sorry. You said Moses? That story goes back?
Moses.
Moses sent up the river like that.
I'm sorry, say that again.
You said we're talking about Moses, right?
Right.
Hold on.
Well, it was King Sargon. Do some research on King Sargon, and that will give you the exact same story of Moses.
Okay, sorry about that. So King Sargon?
King Sargon.
So in other words, these Bible stories, some of the miraculous events are translated to fit a region or religion.
That's correct.
Okay. But I hear what you're saying, but I count it all.
Hey, I take that back. Let me take that back. I said Buddha. It wasn't Buddha. It was Hare Krishna.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's who it was. It wasn't Buddha.
Was born
I take that back.
Okay.
Of a virgin, right.
I'm looking at Buddha. The story is kind of similar, though, but not like the born to a virgin.
Yeah, do Hare Krishna and tell me what you see.
Okay.
So, again, we've got these Bible stories. Again, so there must have been, well, not must have been, they understood the fact that if I can get you to believe, if I can get you to believe on a pretty primitive basis that virgins had babies, then I could get you to believe a lot of other things.
This is correct.
If you just break it right down, if I can get you to believe that this virgin woman had a baby when everything you know tells you that the egg must be met with sperm in order for a baby to be produced inside of a woman, if I can get you to believe that none of that happened, but a baby was there anyway, then, yeah, I can get you to believe some pretty outrageous stories.
You really can't. I mean, but we got to take an account now. We got to take an account this, that being God, there is nothing that you can't do.
Right. Okay.
And I think because of that, they believe that. But we have to ask ourselves why. Why would Jesus have to not why would Jesus have to go through the whole birth period to come to this life? Why would he really have to do that?
Because
it's a story.
Yes. And if I'm to get
the narrative in which they want to get, yes.
If I'm going to get you to believe the story, it makes it more believable when I put him in a form that you're used to. You know, I put him
That's
in
correct.
A human body. You know, you're used to the baby.
That's correct.
And if you look in the Bible, there are many, 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 many gaps and years missing from Jesus was born. He tarried away from his parents to the tabernacle. And the next time you pretty much heard of Jesus, he was on the island of Capernaum, 33 years old, with a full-blown ministry.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happened? Now, again, if we're talking about the Son of God, as they want us to believe, excuse me, not the Son of God, God himself in human form, wouldn't that whole Bible just be about him? I'm just throwing some things out there in the atmosphere.
You're referring to how they skipped so many years of his life. What happened
yeah.
then? Because just as I've been saying all along, Jesus was just like us. Jesus ran. Jesus threw rocks. Jesus did things that a normal child would do. Why? Because he was a normal child, except for the fact that he got in tune with his inner self. And when he got in tune with his inner self, then the glory of God began to shine on him, because then he was one with God. That same one with God that he left on record trying to get us to understand that we have the power and the authority to be one as well.
Well, then let me ask a question.
And when I say be one as well, I mean to
right.
do the things that he did, because we
right.
are one.
Yeah, all right. We are one, not fully connected to the Creator. We are one that has the Creator inside of us, but we don't understand the true connectivity that allows us to perform great acts in his name or in the name of God through us, because we don't understand the true connectivity.
Well, and that's just true. And what I really people may not understand this, but what once you come in the touch and the contact with who you really are, you don't have to say in the name of Jesus. You can say in the name of Brother Kenny, because you have the same authority. But because of what they have taught us, and because of how they have brainwashed us to believe. Now, just think about this. They said that Jesus came so that we didn't have to go to anybody. We can go straight to the Father. That was part
right.
of the reason for Jesus coming, right? So if
right.
we can go straight to the Father, why do we now have to go through him?
Because going through him is what we know. And not going through him don't seem natural. If you think about this. Think about you at an event. I'm sorry, excuse me. You're at an event and you pray and people are crying and, you know, do the thing that they do, because we've been conditioned to do these things when we hear a good prayer or a good song. So, and then you end that prayer with, in the name of Messenger Rondaya, I say amen. All of a sudden, the crying going to stop. They're going to look up at you like, wait a minute, hold on. He thinks he's Jesus. Oh, yeah. I mean, and if you said that,
yes.
It was just, yeah.
I can understand them stopping if I'm saying something other than what Jesus left on record. But this is what Jesus told us. And the reason Jesus said to ask in his name is because he knew we did not have the faith to believe that we are who he said we are. Even though it says we are the sons and daughters of God, even though it says that, we do not believe it. We believe in order for that to happen, first of all, we got to go get dipped in some water, which is just symbolic. Or we've got to do this, which is symbolic. We got to do all of these just symbolic thing. So technically, we got to fool God, act like something, in order for him to accept us? Does that make sense? You've got to be baptized. Baptized, all that is dipping down in the water. It's just a symbolic gesture. That's all it is. And God doesn't need no symbolic gesture. That's not going to determine whether he loves you or not. He loved you. That's why you're here, because he loved you.
It's so funny when I hear you give that example, because, I mean, you talk about confirmation to be on the same thread pretty much word for word. I had that exact same conversation with some Muslim brothers at work, and I might have told the story before, but I'm a little older podcast audience, so when I tell stories two or three times, just roll with me. And they were in there going through what the Muslims call the hudu, when you cleanse yourself before you speak to Allah. And I asked the brother, I said, do you really think that Allah don't know that you're dirty? Do you really think that Allah don't know that you just put water on a shoe? Do you really think that Allah can't see all that? And if you understand or believe he can see that, and he knows that you are not in the pure form, we're taking a modified version, even though I think the pure form, we can talk about that later, isn't necessary either. But we're taking a modified version of what is supposed to be pure. We're supposed to dip your body in the well of Zimzim. Well, I mean, you're supposed to do these things, and I'm not trying to profess that I know a whole lot about Islamic religion, but I know the messenger do, because you spend some time there. But if I'm supposed to go through all of these things, the fool God that I am his servant, then that's a waste of time to me.
It's just rituals. And what we're doing is we're playing games with ourselves when we don't have to, because the place in which we're trying to get, we don't understand we're already there. We believe that we are separated from God. And so this is why we do all that we do. But you cannot be separated from God. God is the everything. So if he is the everything, how can you be separated from him? If you're separated from God, you are no. You are nothing. But as I begin to understand his word and he reveals it to me more and more, all of these things, just I just look at it and it's like, wow, I can't believe I spent most of my entire life believing this crazy stuff. It just can't be. If we stop looking at God like God is the Wizard of Oz and look at him as a spirit, no man. He can be a man if he wants. He can be whatever he wants to be, but God is a spirit. And this is why he can be omnipresent.
Well, then, I got to say this.
He is everywhere.
Uh-huh. If God is spirit, how come when we are taught to pray, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, the first thing we start off with, our Father, if he's a spirit, where does that?
Well, once again, because of the fact that you have to understand Jesus. Jesus was just like us. He got in tune, but and what he had to do also is he had to deal with them on their level because they could not comprehend anything else.
Okay. That makes sense.
He knew who he was working with.
Yeah, so if I'm one of the modern-day mega pastors or pretty much any pastor who's fleecing members for money, if I'm one of those individuals... I'm sorry. I'm going to really, really work on my word choice from time to time. But if they're a pastor, so can we then say that they preach their ministry because they know who they're working with?
That's correct. And this is one of the reasons why most churches, they make it taboo for you to question anything about God. How can God be your best friend, your everything, but you can't ask him no questions? How come when you go to him, you've got to go to him in such reverence? God is the reverence and the unreverence. God is everything. God is my best friend. So if God is my best friend, can't I go to him just like I can go to you? And I can use whatever words I want to use. You think God never heard damn before? Who do you think created damn? Do you think that's offensive to God?
Well, I need you to believe it is.
Well, yes, I need you to believe it is, and I need for you to follow what I'm telling you and not what God is telling you. And they have a – here's the thing that really gets me more than anything else. God – it says right there in the Word that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And even when in Jesus' prayer, he mentioned about it, right? That we don't fear anything. Why? For thou art with me. So he's letting us know that we shouldn't have fear over anything. So why do they preach all this gloom and doom?
Because gloom and doom keeps you nervous, it keeps you paying, and it keeps you attending. If I was to tell if I had a congregation, right? Again, I'm on that old fuddy-duddy organized religion that I'm not so fond of anymore. If I have a congregation and I pour my heart out to them, and towards the end, as Uncle Nim used to say, in my closing, I close with something like, listen, you never have to come back into this building again. If you would practice or wake up to the fact that God is already in you and you just spend time connecting, you don't need to come here anymore. What preacher would preach that sermon? Even though that's probably the truest sermon they could possibly preach, who would preach that?
Well, let me tell you this, though, brother. And you're right. Nobody is going to preach it because they ain't going to get the big cathedral and stuff that they want. Even though Jesus never had one, they want to be like him, but we want to take it to another step. But that's all right. But the point is, if you came with that, they would come back. Why? Because it is good for the brethren to come together. It is good for us to come together and expound on what God has revealed to me so that you can tell me what he has revealed to you. And we can see together how all things are working for the good. And once we come to understand how things are working for the good, and you ain't got to blow smoke up my butt to make me believe something, I'll give freely to you. But
so,
don't chastise me that God told me to give back what he gave to me.
And you know, on its simplest, and I do mean simple, on its simplest level, that concept is just, I mean, it's, again, when I say blow my mind, it blows my mind because I believed it for so long. That's what blows my mind with it. But when you talk about God bless me with something just so I could give it back to him or give some of it back to him, does that sound normal? I'm going to bless you with $5,000, Brother Hodge, but I need you to give me back $500. I might just be
God, why did you just give me $4,500?
Why did you just bless me with $4,500? Because I want to test your faith. Really.
God is not testing us.
What's
God it? Is not testing us. God already knows who we are.
God being the Alpha, the Omega, the author, and the finisher of our lives, our faith, our everything. You mean to tell me that he didn't know already when he gave me that $5,000?
Exactly.
Now, he didn't know already that I was probably going to give him like 2 or 3%. And, you know, because things come
right. Right, you're right. He didn't know this? So once again, in one breath we say how awesome and how all-knowing he is, and then in another breath we say how ignorant he is. When truthfully it is us. God loves a cheerful giver, but he don't need you to give to him per se. because he has everything. He needs for you to give to that person that just got kicked out of their house because they couldn't pay the rent. He needs you to give to that person that needs a bite to eat. Or he needs you to give some love to that person that feels as if they're unloved. That's the giving that he wants you to give. And that's totally up to you. And when you come to know who you are, you will give all of that freely.
And you know what, man? I hear what you're saying. And again, because our ministry is a today ministry, I just want to share this with the audience. And I know that God is working on me. Well, excuse me, he's working through me. He don't have to work on me. He already know what I'm going to do, what I ain't going to do. But he's working through me. And as I look out, some people in my office, I think there's some pretty rotten things to me. I really do believe that. And I don't believe in any of it, not some of it. I don't believe any of it was justified. But I'll tell you, of all those, and when I say all, it's not a bunch. It's about maybe 10 or 15 out of about, 300-400, but almost about 250, 300. So not a large number, but in my heart, man, I could kind of forgive all of them except two of them. Now, you know, and again, I am striving every day to be a better me, or be me that God can be prouder of, if there is such a thing. But it's, I don't know, it's just two of them I just can't get through. And in fact, I make a joke at work, and I tell people, I don't think I'm put together in a manner that's going to allow me to forgive those two people.
Oh,
but
yes,
I will,
you are, my brother.
But I will say this, though. And I don't just say it forever. But if I get that touch, when God get my attention to forgive and speak okay of these two people, I got a little joke. I said, don't tap me on the shoulder, God. Grab, hold on to me so I know it's you. I don't want to make no mistake.
Okay. Okay, hold on, my brother. What is it that they did that was so terrible? Total detail, but what is it that they did so terrible that you can't forgive them?
All right, one of them was and again, unless you've been in the Marine Corps, you may never understand this. There's a bond there, and I know the bond might be superficial, but there's a bond there. And one of them was a Marine who turned his back and helped attempt to bring about my demise. Now the other folks who had little hands in that, I can overlook them with it, man. But there's something about that bond between Marines that, I don't know, it makes it hard for me to look past that with him. It really does.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think you were tighter than him, and according to the story, were you tighter than him than Jesus was to Judah?
No.
Okay. But what did Jesus say? Whatever you're going to do, do it quickly. And he forgave them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So you count it all joy because you look at it and you see, hey, they did this to my brother. So they did this to my brother. Who am I? Why would they not do it to me? And you have to look at it. You've got to get plastic because that could be what's holding you up from going to the next level, still holding on to some petty stuff that, in your words, you said they tried. They didn't really do it, but they tried. And in their trying, all it did was make you stronger and gave you a different avenue and stuff to take. That's all. And the word tells you, don't put your trust in man. So get with the word. I'm holding on. God is telling me to hold on to you. You said don't just touch you to hold on, right? I'm holding on to you. Let that go. Because
I just want you to fully understand that this is one time where even greater than you being the messenger, if you wasn't my big brother, I probably cut your mic off already. I'm just saying.
But
you
know what?
Yeah.
This is what we do when God is speaking to us. If it's something that we don't want to hear, we tune it out.
Yeah, and that was definitely something I didn't want to hear.
I understand that, but you asked him.
Yes, I did.
You asked God for it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. All right, so he just gave it to you, bro.
Wow.
Trust me, next week, you probably have to tell me the exact same thing. But this is what we have to do, because we've got to be able to set ourselves apart so that we can be different. Different in the way that we're in the world, but not of the world. And that's the way the worldly people want to think. They want to hold grudges. They want to get even. And we've got to let that go. Why? Because we know that all things are working for the good. Have I done good all my life? No, I haven't. But I'm learning that I can strive to do the good things. I think twice now about doing something that I shouldn't do. I think three times, and praise God, 95% of the time I don't do it. Because this is that daily walk. This is that same thing that the Muslims, when they speak about praying five times a day. No, you pray constantly. Just as you walking down the stairs or going to bed, you're praying to God. Anytime you're talking, you're having communion with God. And this is what we have to understand, because he's inside of us listening. There's some things we just said as we were going to bed, per se, and he brought it to fruition for us. We wasn't really even asking him, but he brought it to fruition for us. God said, I'm with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. And we have to trust and believe and know that to be the case.
But I don't question you, big brother, mm-hmm. or brother messenger. But you sure those were the right words? I mean, I'm just saying, you sure that you didn't. You
well, were, let me ask you. As I was saying, was God knocking on your heart as I was saying it?
He was, man. It, you know what? And I'm gonna answer that with this. It is so simple. As you started to talk, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, did you really, really, really? But I feel that. I don't feel as much now. But I got to tell you, watch this. My heart is lighter. I see forgiveness. I haven't held on to it yet, though.
But that's only because you choose not to. But you do know the way. And so when you're really ready to take the way, you can go that way. So it is there for you. Right now, you just want to hold on to it. We ain't all fully there. Jesus wasn't fully there. No matter what they tell you, he wasn't fully there.
Well, you know, like I said, man, I was talking to Mom earlier in the week, and I told her, this messenger podcast, this will go on forever. I said, because if nothing else, man, I mean, because Mom know how we get when we get home. We sit around the house, and somebody want to discuss some things. Mom knows how we do that. So, and again, this was like a revelation, an eye-opener to me, because, again, before this podcast started, I didn't see any way that forgiveness from me to them, and all they did was, I mean, and honestly, both of them lied on me, man, but who didn't lie on me, man? You know what I'm saying? Who didn't lie on me?
So, okay.
Yeah, all right, man. All right, I ain't messing with you, man. I'm going to get back to the attic, man. And for those of you that might think I'm playing, I promise you I'm not.
I know it, my brother. We've always had this special connection. Always. And honestly, each day, I just feel it getting stronger and stronger each day. So when you know me, I know when you see it, and I know when G-Money, not right now. I understand that. but I hear G-Money, I understand. That's our code word. I understand. But I count that all joy, man. It's It's just this is what they meant when they said it is good when they, you know, because, and this is another thing too. I'm sorry to go off on a rant here, but this is another thing too about the Bible that really vexes me. We are all one. God has no respect of person. But if you read the Bible treats women like dogs. Got quiet there. But read the Bible and see. Woman, be submissive to this. Woman, don't do that. Be this or that for you. That's not so. It's just,
hey,
you deserve just as much happiness as a man. Yes, sir.
I, you know, I hate to interrupt you, but again, as we span the podcast, we've got Sister Terry on the phone.
Hello,
she just joined in late. How you doing today?
I am wonderful. I dialed in when you were talking about forgiveness and holding on to the anger, maybe, about your situation at the job. And I just worry about you sometimes that you're not, you know, that you're not ready to let it go yet.
Well, I am now. It's done.
Can we say confirmation? All right.
Huh?
You told him to hold on. See, you told God, don't just touch you to hold on. He brought somebody else in to let you know, my brother. Oh.
Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. And this is how God works, and we have to understand that. He's an on-time God. He's right here, right now. We got to stop thinking that. That's right. We got to stop thinking I asked him today and he ain't going to answer me till next year sometime. No, he answers you right away. You just, it's up to you whether you're going to listen. Because he's not forcing himself. Because you're going to come to understand it. If not now, you're going to come to, sooner or later. You make the choice.
And there's nothing you can do to any of those people that's bigger or harder than what God can or will do.
Let me stop. God ain't gonna do anything to them. They're gonna do to themselves, because if they do that to him, they're going to do it to someone else. And remember the golden rule: what a man soweth, so shall he reap.
He reap. That's right.
So we have to understand, this is why God said, vengeance don't belong to you. They've already got it coming to them. And I'm not wishing anything bad on anyone, but you have to understand, if you do bad, it's coming back. And that's also applicable to if you do good. So
right.
If you do good and good's coming back to you, what would you rather do, bad or good? It's a choice that we have to make. And the choice is simple.
Say that again.
Bless you,
I like the way Brother Messenger said it.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you real quick before we go. That's why every year on May 15th, even though Brother Messenger is my big brother, every year we share that day being the same age. the next day is his birthday, and that's, I told mom was cutting it close. My birthday is May 15th, his is the 16th, so forever, one day a year, we're the same age. I think that's kind of
you
cute.
Didn't just plug your birthday, did you? Are you trying to get presents?
No.
Hey, he wasn't plugging his, he was plugging mine.
Oh,
he's trying to get presents.
But you know, again, that's why this is the beauty of, I'm starting to get the beauty of the messenger and the message. Again, we're starting to grow. Again, I'm getting a lot of questions at work. And I think that when people hear the message, they'll understand that it ain't anti anything. It's just 100% pro God. It's not anti anything.
That's all it can be.
That's
anything
all it can
other
be.
Than that is just talk.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen, we're down to, like, our last 5 minutes of the show, and at this time I'd like to pass the mic, let everybody say, you know, give a quick recap and say their good nights. So, Sister Purr, since you came in last, you can be the first.
I say good night to everybody, and just remember, let's love one another.
All right.
Amen.
Now.
Night.
All right,
yeah. Okay. Sister Sunshine.
Sorry. Sunshine. Good night, everyone, and thank you so much for the message tonight, Brother Messenger.
Bless you, Mother. And it wasn't a shout out for the birthday. All I want for my birthday, Sister Carmen will tell you. We'll let you know. I just want us all to get along.
Yeah,
that's
and you put
birthday.
Your Cash App address right in the remarks, the comment section,
well,
so everybody has it available.
Please check the website
gift
afterwards. That's correct.
Please accept the
gift cards are acceptable.
Gift cards are
What's
acceptable.
That?
Gift cards
My
are also account? Acceptable.
Oh, yes, they are. That's correct. Anything that God touches your heart to do is acceptable. I know we got to go, but that's one thing I just want to hit real quick. We'll get it again on our next podcast. But this is another thing that we have to understand as who we are. We've got to understand that when people are giving us stuff, we've got to be able to receive it. As children of God, we think we don't need nothing for the work that we're doing. But this is important work. And if they can give strippers thousands of dollars a night to get naked, don't you think bringing God's word deserves something? Just
yeah.
Something to make you say. Okay.
So all I'm going to say to that, Brother Messenger, before I have Nurse Carmen say her goodbyes, if you were proposing that question to me on the attic, we would probably have a different response. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I just said, you're right, Brother Hodge.
Oh, there's Carmen. Go ahead.
I'd like to say good night to everyone, and I've enjoyed the message, and love you guys.
Cool. All right. Well, again, since it's the Messenger show, he'll get the last 2 minutes of the show. As always, tonight was a special edition of the Messenger. We try to go Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Technical difficulties last night kind of encouraged us to talk about it tonight. And again, God is at work, and I know he's at work, and I'm going to be a student of my own ministry, man. And you'll notice that I have forgiven those two individuals. I just have to remind myself that I've forgiven them so I don't forget. And
it's a process. And before you
that.
Didn't even say that. So it's
yeah.
a process. God is at work.
Yes, he is.
Remember, his word will not return void.
Ever. Mm. Hey, Mr. Take us home. We've got a minute left.
I just want to say to each and every one of you, it is a pleasure to come on and be able to share what God has revealed to not only to me, but touch you too as well. And I'm just asking that as we expound on this, I know I get all uppy up and just want to go all night long, but I know that there are some things as we're talking that God is revealing to you. And please don't hesitate, because we can use yours to strengthen each other as well. All right, so I thank you all, and we look forward to the next podcast. Oh, he did a Uncle Roy on me. All right.
Uh-oh, Negro spiritual.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'll suffer, I'll have eternal life when I see Jesus. Amen. When I see Jesus, amen. All of my trials, all my trials will be over when I see Jesus.
On that note, good night, everybody. Stay blessed.
Good night, my brother. All right.